Pretty clear.
Welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Education of the Logan City School District, Cache County, Utah. Today is June 22nd, 2021. The time is 5:10 p.m. This meeting is being held via Zoom and is being streamed live via the district Facebook page. Tonight, we have members of the Logan City School District Board of Education, District Business Administrator, Superintendent, and his Executive Assistant in attendance. We will also be joined this evening by various guests and presenters. It's the mission of the Logan City School District to ensure all students leave our schools ready to create a positive future for themselves and their community. We'll start tonight's meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. If you'd all stand and follow along with me, we'll say the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Moving on now to our celebration portion of the agenda. We have with us a Logan High School student who's becoming a frequent attender. We need her give her a loyalty card for frequency of appearances here with us as a board. We're fortunate to have Cammy Yuan with us, and I'll let the superintendent introduce her, and we'll go through with that celebration. Thank you.
Thank you, Board President. Cammy Yuan has actually not been able to join us yet, but I would like to share publicly some of the work that Cammy has done. She is one of our students at Logan High. She'll be a senior next year, and she's the president of our Asian Student Association at Logan High School. This past month, she was invited to be a speaker at an event down in Salt Lake County, recognizing the contributions of our Asian American population, particularly as some members of that community have faced increased scrutiny and discrimination as a result of some of the challenges with the COVID-19 pandemic. We wanted to celebrate Cammy both for the work that she does as a student at Logan High School and the contributions that she makes there, as well as the active role that she's playing in the broader community, both in Cache Valley and across our state, in advocating for equity and for inclusion for all students. So with all of the conversations that have taken place recently, we just wanted to celebrate Cammy for the work that she has been doing. And we will continue to get that information to both her and her family, the appreciation that we have for her as a district administration. We would like to take, Rachel, if you can put the graphic up, with all of the disruption at the end of the school year and some calendar changes, we have not been able to yet celebrate with you all as a board our employees of the year for the district. Now, each of these employees were recognized at their work sites. There was a very large celebration for Ms. Michelle Hatch, our district teacher of the year. She is a CTE teacher at Logan High School. Jill Beer, assistant principal at Mount Logan Middle School, was our district administrator of the year. And we had two ES educational support professional employees of the year for the district: Kelly Hansen, our district nurse, and Shanna Longhurst, our communications specialist and foundation director. They were recognized for the significant amount of extra work that they've taken on related to COVID-19. In communicating with parents, communicating with neighborhoods at large, serving as our liaisons with the health department, advising employees on quarantine measures, advising principals on managing mask mandates. They have played a tremendous role over the course of the last year. Michelle, as all of you know, is a veteran teacher at Logan High School. She has served on the leadership team at Logan High. She has been one of our driving forces behind AVID and helping more students develop the college readiness skills that they need to be successful after high school, as well as simply being an advocate for students through her work as a career and technical education teacher. Jill, you all are aware of, is a younger administrator in terms of years of experience in our district. She is phenomenal at building relationships with students, staff, and parents. In fact, as you read the comments that were written by those who nominated her, the prevailing idea is one of relationships and connections. And Jill is committed to providing that and creating those connections across or with everyone who walks through the school, particularly those who come to her office and might need a little extra guidance and support during the day. So we did want to make sure that we brought these individuals up in board meeting with all of you and publicly here in this setting, had the chance to celebrate them for the incredible work that they have done this year, and they do each year to support their colleagues and our students in the district.
Thank you, Superintendent. Any other celebrations, board members, that you want to bring forward at this time?
I'm sorry.
Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the public comments section of our agenda. According to my notes, no one has signed up to offer public comment at this meeting or at our public hearing, which we'll be holding later. So we'll move on to our consent calendar. I need a recommended motion to approve the consent calendar as presented. Would someone like to make a motion?
I would move adoption of the consent calendar.
Motion's made by Member Geary. Would anyone like to second that motion?
I'll second.
Seconded by Greg Miller. We will now take a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Consent calendar has been approved. We have at 5:30 meeting to move into the Municipal Building Authority, but we can't start that until 5:30. So we're going to jump ahead in our agenda to the action items. And specifically starting with our action item number two, which is the adoption of our board meeting calendar. I'd like to someone to make a motion to approve the proposed board meeting calendar for the 2021-22 school year. Are there any questions or comments regarding that before I ask for that motion? Would someone like to make the motion?
I will move that we accept the calendar that we've discussed and presented here in the past.
Okay. Motion's been made by Greg Miller. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Ann Geary. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Moving on to action item number three, which is the adoption of the updated superintendent and business administrator contracts. We need a motion to approve the revised salaries and contracts for the superintendent and business administrator as proposed. We've previously discussed these. If there aren't any questions, I'd accept a motion at this time.
Larry?
Yes.
I think it's important to note that the motion for the superintendent and the business administrator salaries will make it so that they receive the exact same increases that other administrators and licensed personnel in our district received. So it's nothing extraordinary. Do you need us to read everything, or are you going to read everything in that, or just that we approve it as written?
I suggest we approve it as written and your concerns duly noted. I don't think we have a need to read through that. So I would accept a motion at this time if you want to make one.
I would move that we accept to approve, motion to approve the superintendent and business administrator contracts for the next year.
Okay. Motion's been made by Ann Geary. Do we have a second?
I will second.
Seconded by Greg Miller. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. We've approved the revised salary and contracts for the superintendent and business administrator. Action item number four, dealing with the increase in undistributed reserves. We need to take action to approve the transfer of $150,000 from the assigned unrestricted program funds to the committed undistributed reserve funds. Do we have any questions or concerns on that motion?
I guess I just asked Jeff maybe to help me understand exactly what that does. But I mean, I assume that this all stays within the overall general fund, that's the $19 or $20 million extra that we have in the general fund, or do we actually move it out of that fund with this motion, with this movement?
Yeah, so Greg, what it is, the board has there's different funds. So we have the unassigned fund balance that I think is $19.9 million, and then we've got, so $5.8 million and I'll go through all this in the budget.
Right, but that's my question. Is this part of that 19.9, or do we have a separate fund that's going to have $2.5 million over and above the 19.9?
Right, and this is a separate fund, and then we have an assigned fund that we have some, and we have, oh, I think, like I said, around 5.8 million. This fund is specifically was set aside so that the board would have funds that they could
a rainy day. Yeah, rainy day. All right. You've answered my question. That's what I was trying to make sure.
Superintendent and I can't touch that money without board action. And so this board has always liked to keep that, but the state has also limited that to only 5% of the total revenue. And so there's a limit on how much you can hold in that reserve fund. Our board has always liked to keep that as close to that 5% as we can. I looked at that right now. We have 2.35 million, which is 92% of that. Moving it to 2.5 million, that would bring it to 98% of the legal limit. And so, and that's basically funds that can't be touched without board action.
Thank you.
You bet.
Any other questions?
No, I'll make that motion unless there's other discussion.
Okay. Motion's been made by Greg Miller. Do we have a second? Seconded by Ann Geary. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay. Seeing none, the motion passes. Action item number five deals with the approval of interest rate modification for our lease revenue bonds, the series of 2008.
And Larry, I believe that one we're going to want to wait to take action on until we've completed the MBA portion of the meeting, and then we return to our regular meeting.
Okay, sounds good to me. Good to know. And that would apply as well to the next lease revenue bond for 2017 as well.
Yes.
Action item. Yes. Okay. So if we jump down to item number seven, the policy for adoption that the superintendent shared with us earlier. Do we have any questions about policy DAG and dealing with the employee drug policy as written, or the superintendent? Do you want to take some time to summarize that before we take action?
I think just for the public record, you all as a board have been able to review this. You've seen the language. We are required by law to have a policy outlining the steps that we take to ensure a drug-free workplace. Now, this is information that we have shared previously with employees as part of our annual orientation. We do have slides as part of that that talk about that it's against our district policy and procedures to, you know, be under the influence at school, to, you know, distribute or be in possession of controlled substances. This, as part of our assurances to the state, we are required to have that now in a policy. So this is simply what this policy does. It states, for example, that no employee shall distribute, dispense, possess, use, or be under the influence of any alcoholic beverage, malt beverage, fortified wine, liquor, and lists a whole different types of substances that they can't be under the influence of. It talks about the appropriate use of medically prescribed marijuana. that there are situations where an employee may be in possession of certain amounts of that, but there's no possession, sale, distribution, except for individuals who may have that medical cannabis card. Those are the main things that it includes. If an employee is convicted of a drug-related crime, they are required to notify the district. And upon being notified of that, there are actions that the district will take to respond to that conviction.
Question on that, Superintendent.
I believe you're muted.
Okay. I was unmuted. Can you hear me now?
I can.
I can.
All right. My question is, if you
I'm
can
sorry,
hear me.
I'm sorry, Ann, I still cannot hear you.
Yeah, I can.
My question, someone can relay it to the superintendent. If someone were to, say, be arrested for drug possession, use, any of those items, the policy says it's after conviction. What happens if they were arrested? Do they have to report that? What would happen in that case?
What our existing practices are is that we ask employees are required to notify their supervisor in case of an arrest. And that is partially just so we can be aware of the situation. So if there's something that comes out in the media, it's not something that catches administrators or district by surprise, and we can determine whether, you know, what action needs to be taken by the district. This is stating if there's a conviction, there's a requirement to report. We also state that if there is an arrest, they need to report.
And that's what I thought from our other policies, that there was a report so that we can determine whether it's safe for that individual to be around students.
Correct. And we'll make sure that in our employee orientation, that if there is any difference between those two, that is clarified.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, concerns? So we need a motion to approve policy DAG, employee drug policy, as written. Would someone like to make that motion? Motion's been made by Ann Geary. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Greg Miller. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion is approved. Thank you very much. I think we're quickly approaching 5:27. Superintendent, I assume we need to wait until right at 5:30. Is that correct?
Yes, let's see if we have reviewing the agenda. If you'd like to briefly review the calendar items that we have at the bottom of the agenda on item G.
Okay, calendar items, June 25th from 3 to 8 p.m. will be the 50th anniversary celebration of BTEC. We're looking forward to that. Member Stewart and his cohorts at BTEC have done a lot of work preparing for this, I know. So that is this Friday, June 25th. June 30th, 7 p.m., Leadership Development Series 2 webinar dealing with Robert's Rules of Order. And then our first board meeting following our summer break is scheduled for August 10th at 5 p.m. Are there any other calendar items that the board would like to present? Okay. Seeing none, that takes care of our calendar. And we still have a couple minutes left before 5:30 to get started.
Larry, would it be all right with you as we prepare to start the MBA meeting, for those who may be viewing this on Facebook, would you be all right if Jeff gave all of us first an introduction of our guests, and then also if we had a brief summary for those who are new to the process of what the MBA process is and the reason why we have this meeting each year?
Sure, that'd be great.
That's not an official business item on the agenda for the MBA meeting, but I think it would be beneficial for our viewers.
Okay. Jeff?
Okay, so to begin with, a municipal or an MBA, in this case, stands for Municipal Building Authority. And so the board created, I'm not sure when, but back in time, they created a municipal building authority that can take action to issue municipal building authority bonds. And so we have general obligation bonds. Those bonds, we have to go out to the public and have a bond election in order to issue general obligation bonds. We can also now, as a municipal building authority, the board can also issue bonds. The difference is we basically, when a GO bond election happens, then the public authorizes our board to issue bonds for a certain amount of money. And they also give us the authority then to raise taxes in order to meet those bonds. With an MBA bond, because that's something that the board has set up, we don't have the ability to raise taxes to pay for those bonds. And so those bonds are paid for out of our capital budget and not out of our debt service budget or our GO bond tax rate. And so it's a little bit different way that we can raise some funds. And as you know, in some of the buildings that we've had, we did have one to complete Logan High School's remodel and rebuild. We issued a municipal building authority bond. We also issued one to complete Ellis Elementary.
And so, Jeff, anyway, Jeff, our first yes. MBA bond, we created our municipal building authority when we were contacted by the Utah Department of Transportation in Logan City that they would be widening 10th West and that we needed to change the front of the building at Woodruff Elementary. We didn't have time to go out to the public for a GO bond. And so that's the first time we did a municipal building authority. We decided if we were needing to change the front doors of that building, we needed to add on and also take away the berms and some of the other things that were in that building and update the building as we changed the entrance of the building. So that was, in my understanding, I was the president at the time, so I signed all of the creation documents. That was when we had our first municipal building authority.
Great. That was, that was before my time. So I appreciate that history lesson. And then we also have the 2017 MBA bonds. And I misspoke. We also have, for the Ellis Elementary, we, instead of an MBA bond, we didn't issue a bond. We opted to go with a real property lease in that situation. And so anyway, Municipal Building Authority, it's a corporation that has been set up in Utah. Every year I go through and redo the, and it's the basically the same people that are on the board are also on the MBA board. And so, but it requires us to go, when we take action on any of these MBA bonds, it requires us to move from the Board of Education to the Municipal Building Authority board. And so we're going to do that in just a few minutes. And then I've also invited our financial advisor, which is Alex Buxton with Zions Public Finance, and Ryan Bierke, who is our bond counsel, to come. And we're going to talk about some loan modifications for these MBA bonds. And they're here to provide information and answer any questions that the board may have.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. At this time, we need to move into a meeting as the Municipal Building Authority. We're going to need two separate motions, one to close the regular meeting and one to enter a Municipal Building Authority meeting. So the first motion I'm looking for is to close the regular meeting. Would someone please like to make that motion?
Motion's been made by Greg Miller,
seconded by Ann Geary. We'll now take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion passes. We've now closed our regular meeting. Now we need a motion to move to go into a Municipal Building Authority meeting. Would someone like to make that motion?
I would move to go into the Municipal Building Authority meeting.
Motion's been made by Ann Geary. Would anyone like to second that motion?
I'll second that motion.
Seconded by Greg Miller. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries, and we have now entered into a Municipal Building Authority meeting. I'll turn the time over to the superintendent. Thank you.
So this part of the meeting will be managed by Jeff and Alex and Ryan. So with that, we'll have Jeff go ahead and move us forward with the work of the MBA.
Okay, and so we discussed this a little bit before, but we have two MBA bonds, the Series 2008 and the Series 2017, and a real property lease that was issued in 2020. As we looked at interest rates and as they've got down, I contacted our financial advisor and said, is there something that we can do? We've got GO bonds, we've got MBA bonds. Is there something we could do to lower that interest rate? And he said, well, the GO bonds, we have to be 10 years. We have to hold those for at least 10 years. And so we still got some time before we can do anything with our general obligation bonds. But he said, I think we can do something with your municipal building authority bonds. He said, let me contact the holders of those bonds. In some cases, they're willing to do a rate modification rather than go through the process of reissuing in order to get that lower rate. And so we contacted them, and they were both willing to do that. And so we talked a little bit about that would save us close to $300,000 between the two, and you know, until those are paid off. And so we wanted to explore that some more. We've explored that some more. We had some questions also from the board about what the cost of that would be, because there are costs that are involved whenever we either reissue an MBA bond or look at doing a rate modification. And so I've asked Alex Buxton and Ryan Bierke to present to the board and answer any questions that you would have about those costs and about the interest rate and what it entails and what it will mean to do this loan modification or this NBA bond interest rate modification.
Great.
You in the meeting?
Can you guys hear us okay here?
Yes.
And you may recognize the ceiling here behind us. Both Ryan and I are in your lovely board meeting chambers, your room here, and we're here with Superintendent. I did, just before I begin, some of you might recognize these boxes here. I know Ann recognizes this box, and I told the superintendent as I walked in, and there's only three of us here, I brought five boxes. So they're going to go up front here with the superintendent, and we'll see if any of them are left by the time you guys all make it into the board chambers here. But Jeff, I appreciate the overview, and I want to just give some additional kudos to your business administrator, because as we've seen almost historic interest rate levels, and in fact, back in August of last year, we had literally historic low levels. Now, my sheet here that I brought, that you guys won't be able to see very well, but you can see, or I can tell you, that right now interest rates are almost at historic lows over the last 35 years. Only 0.11% of the time have rates been lower. So we're in 99.89% of low historic rates. And your business administrator recognized that, and as he mentioned, reached out to me about a month ago and said, hey, we need to try to take advantage of these historic low interest rates. He mentioned we looked at the general obligation bonds that do have a call provision on each of those for 10 years. In our industry, we have our fingers crossed that at some point the advanced refunding option might come back into play. right now that is not an option to advance refund prior to the call date as far as a tax exempt bond goes, but there has been discussion about bringing that back. And so we'll continue to monitor the general obligation bonds, particularly if the advance refunding comes back into play. There may be some opportunity to save your taxpayers money by refinancing the GO bonds. We're here tonight to talk about the MBA bonds, as Jeff mentioned. Back in 2013, the board took action in modifying the original 2008 bonds that are owned by Wells Fargo. So this is the second time that we're looking at modifying and lowering the interest rate. Jeff talked about a full refunding. The reason why we've decided to look at doing a modification as opposed to a full-on refunding is, number one, the costs associated with a refunding on either of these 2008 or 2017 bonds is significantly higher than doing a modification. There still are some costs, of course, but they're significantly lower. And number two, what we did is we took a look at where the market was on each of these and ran numbers on what we feel like is what we'd be able to get on a refunding, a full-on refunding. And then, as Jeff mentioned, we contacted the owners of the bonds, Bank of Utah and Wells Fargo, directly and told them flat out, we're either going to refund these out and place them with another bank, and here's about the level that we think we could do that at, or we'll give you kind of the first right of refusal. And if you're willing to lower your interest rate significantly enough to justify just working directly with you, we can keep the bonds with you. And so, as Jeff mentioned, both Bank of Utah and Wells Fargo determined that it was in their best interest to go ahead and lower the interest rate. Quickly, and I know I'm talking a lot here, but right now the 2017 bonds carry an average coupon or an average interest rate of about 3.09%. And what we are looking to lock in with Bank of Utah is an average or an overall true interest cost of a 1.75%. So not quite half the interest rate, but pretty close to half what the current interest rate is. Those bonds go out to 2033, and there's approximately $3.8 million left on those bonds. And so we are looking at a overall savings, a gross savings of about $300,000 on the 2017 bonds, the restructuring. The thought was, while we're doing this for the 2017s, even though there's only about $1 million left, slightly over $1 million left on the 2008 bonds, we're all already going to be presenting this, the 17s, to the board. And Ryan here is drafting documentation for the one restructure or loan interest rate modification. We might as well look at the 2008s as well. Those don't have as great a savings, given that they only go out until 2024. And as I mentioned, there's only 1.1 million left. But we're looking at, and we haven't been able to lock anything else or lock anything in yet with Wells Fargo, because they wanted this meeting to occur before they're willing to lock something in. But they're looking at about a 1.4% interest rate currently. That bond has a 2.59% interest rate. And the savings on that would generate approximately $21,000 gross savings. So certainly not a huge amount of money, but the thought was, might as well, you know, it's better than no savings, and we might as well look at getting them both done. I want to remind the board too, that initially those bonds, the 2008s, would have gone out until around, I believe, 2028. But there's been an optional pay down of those bonds that Wells Fargo provided up to $250,000 a year to pay off some of the principal in advance of maturity. And for many years, the board took advantage of that and did pay off an additional $250,000. And so you've been able to trim about 4 years off of those bonds. And now you're paying them off in 2024. So kudos to you as a board for your forthright and thought, your forward thinking to pay off some of that early. And now you only have 3 years left. So that's an overview. Again, I know I'm long-winded there, but that's an overview of what we're doing. We've put together a calendar. I'm happy to review the calendar, assuming the board adopts the resolutions tonight. Ryan's going to talk about the action items, which right now with the MBA would be the resolution, and then later on with the board. But is there anything that I've covered as far as the numbers go, the financing side of things, a calendar, a timeline that you want me to talk about before I turn the time over to Ryan?
This is Greg. No, I don't really have a question about this particular item, but just the comment that you made earlier about the advance refunding or defeasance, I assume, would be what we would be talking about. Is that something the state legislature needs to put in place that we can't do it because they won't allow that on GAO bonds because of state law?
That's actually a federal ruling that on a federal level about how many years ago, Ryan? Maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, maybe longer.
No, it's been a little bit closer to the 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I think it was right at kind of the beginning of the previous presidency. They did away with the advanced refunding.
So that was part of the Trump Tax Act then, apparently, huh?
Correct. Yeah, that's right. So again, that's something we'll just kind of watch for. Who knows if it will come back at some point or not, but it would certainly be something that the board would want to take advantage of, assuming interest rates stay at or near these low levels, and there's any, you know, there's savings to be had. We would immediately talk to Jeff and to Ryan and to the board to look at trying to save some money on the GO bonds as well. There's other options that you can look at with the advanced refundings not being available, like a taxable refunding and a few other methods that you can look at. But based on the fact that there's still a long period of time until the call date, those options don't make financial sense right now. But we'll continue to monitor those. But that's a great question, Greg.
Thank you.
Anything else, Jeff, that I haven't covered that you'd like me to cover on the financial side of things before we let Ryan walk us through the legal side?
Yeah, the board had asked a question when we brought this up about costs, what the costs were to getting this loan interest modification done.
Sure. Yes, and I kind of alluded to the fact earlier that the costs are certainly lower than what they otherwise would be if we did a full-blown refunding. We were able to eliminate title fees, we're able to lower legal fees, financial advisor fees, trustee fees, and so forth. Right now, on the 2008 bond issue, we're estimating a cost of about $6,000. And on the 2017 issue, we're estimating somewhere between about 25 and 27, 28,000. So there's, despite the cost, there's still a significant amount of savings, certainly on the 2017. The 2008, you know, if we're looking at about a $21,000 savings, it'd take it down to about a $15,000 savings. Anything else, Jeff, that you'd like me to cover either in that regard or anything else that I've talked about?
No, do the board members, do you have any other questions? before we go into the Ryan's presentation on the legal issues?
I do. Okay,
Ryan, I think the floor is yours.
Great. Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me up tonight. It's great to be here with you all virtually, I guess. We were hoping that this would be sort of the first time out in the semi-post COVID vaccination phase, but I guess we all still get to meet virtually here for a little longer. Alex has walked you through the basics, and I just will add a tiny bit to that, and that is the Municipal Building Authority is the issuer of the bonds, and that's why you need to take action as the Municipal Building Authority. The way the bonds are paid is that the Municipal Building Authority enters into a lease agreement with the Board of Education for the Board of Education to make lease payments. And so what we'll do is sort of to the extent you approve this, you'll have two resolutions to be adopted by the Municipal Building Authority, and that actually goes in and changes the bonds. And then you've got two resolutions that would be considered by the Board of Education that authorizes or approves that the changes to the bonds, but also then goes in and modifies the lease payments for securing the bonds. I lost my train of thought there for a second. Taking action tonight does not obligate you to go forward. It just starts the process. So it authorizes Jeff and others to move forward to the extent that they deem it in the best interest of the district. With that, I would take any questions on the legal side. Basically, the resolutions, there's one for each series of bonds that needs to be adopted. So you would need to make one motion for the series 2008 and one motion for the series 2017. And then the resolutions authorize the execution of the legal documents necessary to complete the transaction.
And those motions need to be approved during the Municipal Building Authority meeting, is that correct?
So yes, you'd have two motions as the Municipal Building Authority for each series. And then once we go out of the Municipal Building Authority and back into your Board of Education meeting, then you'll take items 5 and 6 and you'd have motions for each of those.
Okay.
And those are your related agenda items.
Okay.
I have no questions, therefore, I would make a motion to approve a resolution authorizing an adjustment to the interest rate for the lease revenue bonds series 2017.
Motion's been made by Ann Geary. Do I have a second?
Greg Miller will second that.
Seconded by Greg Miller. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, motion passes. So we need another motion to approve the 2017 series resolution. Do I have that motion?
Really quick, it's the 2008. You just approved the 2017.
Oh, thank you. 2008. Do I have that motion?
Yeah, if I can find the language, I'll make
it. I'll go ahead and make it. Do a motion to approve a resolution authorizing an adjustment to the interest rate for the lease revenue bonds series 2008.
Motion's been made by Ann Geary. Do we have a second?
I second that.
Seconded by Greg Miller. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. So with that, I assume we need to move out of our Municipal Building Authority meeting. Is that correct, Superintendent?
Yes.
Thank you, Alex and Ryan, for helping us there.
Yes, thank you for your contribution.
Appreciate every dime we can find, wherever we can find it. So thank you for working with Jeff.
Yes, and thank you, Jeff, for all your hard work. But $321,000 we can use for a variety of things. So we'll take it. So we appreciate your contribution to that savings. So thank you. Okay, Superintendent, if you want to guide me here, I've got several. So I would assume we need a motion to close the Municipal Building Authority meeting. Would someone like to make that motion?
I move we close the Municipal Building Authority meeting.
Motion's been made by Greg Miller. Can I get a second?
I'll second that motion.
Seconded by Ann Geary. We will now take a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Now we need to make a motion to enter in back into our regular meeting. Would someone like to make that motion?
I'll make a motion to resume our regular school board meeting.
Motion's been made by Ann Geary to resume our regular school board meeting. Would anyone like to make a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Greg Miller. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. We're now re-entered into our, regular board meeting. So we have—
What I would, perhaps a suggestion would be, we have that one action item that we weren't able to do, that we didn't do previously. We've got just a few minutes here if we'd like to go ahead and take care of F5, the approval of the interest rate modification.
N6.
Okay.
F6
as well. F6.
No, we can
do right? Oh, 5 and 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the action item being presented now, we need to approve the interest rate modification for the lease revenue bond series 2008. I need someone to make that motion to approve that. Would someone like to make the motion?
I'll make that motion. I move to approve the resolution authorizing an adjustment to the interest rate for the lease revenue bond series 2008.
Okay, motion's been made by Greg Miller. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Ann Geary. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Seeing none, motion carries. Next action item, F6, is the approval of the interest rate modification for the lease revenue bond series 2017. Is that correct?
Yes, I would make a motion to approve a resolution authorizing an adjustment to the interest rate for the lease revenue bond series 2017.
Motion's been made by Member Geary. Do we have a second?
I second it.
Seconded by Greg Miller. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, I think that takes—
Can I just say, I appreciate, it's been great to work with Alex and Ryan over the years. They've given us really wise financial advice over the years. Ryan does the real interesting stuff, but yeah, he's a wordsmither, so I appreciate him, and Alex is the fun one, so.
I read that resolution and I thought, how many lawyers had to work on this? Anyway,
Ryan.
Yeah, I could see it was fun stuff. So I apologize to you, Ryan, that you have to do the fun stuff.
Alex, that's fun stuff I like.
And Alex gets all the credit, huh?
Well, and I appreciate the kind words, and I have to give all the credit to Jeff, because he's the one that keeps me in line and doing things for the board. So, and Ann, with your great comment, I'm going to go ahead and make sure that one of these is going to come to the side. I don't know when you're going to come by, but one of these is definitely yours, Ann. Thank you for the compliments.
Thank you.
Alex and Ryan.
Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate your help, and travel safely back home. So we have a couple more minutes before we can enter into our budget hearing. So I think Jeff needs to give us a rundown of the Florida weather. Jeff?
Well, it's been really nice. As you can tell, we've had a fair amount of sun. It has been raining as well almost every day that we've been here, but it's been sunny enough that we were able to get out and, you know, go to the beach. Today we were indoors for the morning until the early afternoon with the volleyball games that brought us down here. Like I said, our team lost a couple of tough games and ended up with a third seed. And so tomorrow we're going to see where that will take us. And then Thursday will be the championship rounds. And so we're hoping to make it to the championship rounds and see how we do.
Well, best way.
We've kind of put ourselves in a hole, so we'll see, you know, where that ends up taking us.
Well, when you come back, bring the rain with you, okay? We need the rain.
Well, it's funny. It comes through. It usually hits pretty hard, and it usually lasts about 15 minutes, and then it's done.
Would certainly take 15 minutes, I think. Enjoy your time and be safe in your travels.
Well, thank you. And thank you for allowing me to come and be part of this with my son. I really appreciate the board. I know that, this seems to be working pretty well. And I like to be there, especially with the budget hearing and the MBA bond situation. I knew that there was a lot that I would be on the agenda for. So I'm grateful for technology and we're able to do this over Zoom, but I really appreciate the board allowing me to go and be a part of this with my family.
Yeah, that's where you should be. So we appreciate all that you do for us. With that said, I think it is 6 p.m. I need a motion for us to close the regular meeting of the Board of Education of Logan City School District. Would someone like to make that motion?
Question. I didn't know we closed. I thought we just moved into a budget hearing.
I think we closed the Municipal Building Authority meeting and then we entered into a regular meeting. So now we're leaving the regular meeting and going into a budget hearing. Is that correct, Superintendent?
I'm sorry, Larry, would you please repeat that? I was wrapping up things with Alex and Ryan here.
Just to clarify, did we enter back into a regular board meeting with that one of the motions previously?
Yes.
Yes.
So we need to leave the regular board meeting or do we need to just enter into a budget hearing?
I believe we exit the regular meeting, we enter the budget hearing. So for each of the transitions, we have a motion to end the meeting that we're in and enter the second meeting.
That's what my note said. So I do need a motion to close the regular meeting. Would someone like to make that motion? Motion's been made by Greg Miller. Do I have a second? Seconded by Ann Geary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. So we have now exited the regular meeting of the Board of Education. We also need a motion to move into a budget hearing. Would someone like to make that motion for me?
I would move that we enter into the budget hearing.
Okay. Motion's been made by Ann Geary. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Greg Miller. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So we are now in our budget hearing. Jeff, Superintendent, I'll turn the time over to whoever's going to take the reins.
Okay. I'm going to share my screen, but it says the host needs to allow me to share my screen.
That's interesting. I'm not sure why. Let me see if I can figure out.
Okay. Just says host disabled participant screen sharing. So I'll let you play with that for a minute as we.
Let's see. Try. Let's
okay. It looks like I'm able to share my screen.
Okay. Now. It's working now.
Yeah. Okay. So can everyone see my screen?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why, but the screen sharing button is kind of in the middle. So anyway. So, okay. Now I can see my screen as well. So the way that we present the budget every year is I go through each of the funds. And then we go through the actual for 2020, what that was, the original budget for 21, the final budget, and then the original budget for 22. The board will need to adopt the final budget for 2021 and the original budget for 2022 tonight. This is actually the deadline. The deadline, state law says that on or before June 22nd, the board needs to, or the school, the Board of Education needs to adopt a budget for the year. And so, that's what this is. Our meeting actually was scheduled for today. And so I have left a sign that will need to be signed by you, Larry, with the superintendent to have you sign if if you could do that tonight before you go home so that we can get that to the county and they can have the tax rates and everything that they need. We actually have until the 30th for the budget, but a few years ago, the legislature gave us until the 30th, and I got really excited about that because the closer you get to the end of the budget year, the easier it is to project that budget. And so anyway, the first year we schedule our budget hearing, I think for the 25th, and then we got to that point, and then the state said, well, yeah, but we didn't change the state, the timing for the state tax rates. And so it's been an interesting issue. It'd be nice if they would both do that, but so we could have our hearings a little bit later, it's would be more accurate. But we try to be as accurate as we can. And as I've told board members in the past, we're projecting based on projections. And so that's how we forecast our budgets. It's based on projections. And so, you know, the tax rates and what the state gives us, those are all subject to change a little bit. And so we take those. And then, as you know, our expenses, it's difficult to, you know, to know who exactly how many teachers are going to stay with us the whole year. Some leave in the beginning, some employees change, and we have other issues that come up, especially, you know, with our capital budgets and others where we have something that, you know, breaks down and needs to be fixed. And so a budget is a projection of what we think we're going to spend, and that's the original budget. And then the final budget, they want us to get a little bit closer. And so they don't really, they're not too concerned about the original budget. We do, I guess you could say, get in trouble a little bit if we go over on our final budget. And so that one, we try to project that as closely as we can. So first of all, I'll go through the summary of Fund 10, the General Maintenance and Operation Fund. This is what all of our salaries are paid out of for all of our employees. And we also purchase supplies and equipment and other things, but it's mainly focused on maintenance and operations of the education that's provided by this, by our schools and administrators. And it's interesting, this, the original budget for last year, I wasn't sure how that was gonna go because again, our budget hearing was scheduled last year, actually for the 23rd of June. And yet in the first part of July, the legislature was still going to have a special session. And they told us, they asked us at that point to submit three different budgets, one with a 2% decrease, one with a 5% decrease, and one with a 10% decrease, because they project the taxes that they're going to collect over the year that funds our year. And they, with the COVID, what was happening with COVID, they were afraid that they were going to lose a significant amount of money. And so it was kind of an interesting project last year to try to project how much we were going to spend. But as you can see, if we look at the total revenues, the actual total revenues for 2020 were $50,096,175. The total expenditures were $47,822,642. So we had an excess revenues over expenditures of $2.273 million. We had some other financing sources and uses, that the $3,378,481, that's an interesting story because basically we had up until 2020, all of what we used to call carryover funds were listed as carryover funds and were listed as money that we had. And we got new auditors, and our new auditor said, really the correct way to do that is call that unearned revenue. And the reason for that is because the way that school districts earn revenue is spend money. So they said, until it's spent, it's really not earned, and the state can come and take that back from you. And so we don't want to put it in as if it's your money. We want to put it in an unearned revenue account. And so that transfer, that change of $3.3 million, gave us a negative fund balance, and our fund balance went from 21 million to 19.9 million. But in actuality, that's money that we received that we still have. But because it is subject to, if the state decided they wanted to take that because we haven't spent it, they could. We basically repositioned where we put that and where we accounted for those funds. And so that was a one-time reposition. And so that's been changed and moved into unearned revenue. And so that impact showed in our actual 2020 numbers. Our original budget, we had projected 51 million in revenue and 51 million in expenses. And that would basically increase our, what we projected is increasing our fund balance by about $4,000. After going through toward the end of the year now, going through that and looking at it a little bit closer, we're projecting that we'll actually get revenue of 53.7 million and that we'll spend 53.6. Now, some of the reasons for that are that the downturn in the economy that was expected originally from COVID didn't hit our state the way that it was expected to. And so the legislature thought we would have less revenue coming in. What happened, we actually ended up with more. And so they've given that to us in increases for next year. But we also received CARES funding, which primarily came in the form of ESSER funds, but they're federal funds that were given to the states and given to school districts. And so because of that, our revenues actually increased and our expenditures increased. And you may recall that the legislature also passed legislation that gave teachers and basically anybody who worked in schools either $1,000 or $1,500 stipend. And so that some of those things increased our spending as well. And then some of the ways that we increased our ESSER funds, but you can see that we projected our total federal was projected to be 6 million and we projected it now to be a little over 7 million. And we're projecting a net change in fund balance of about 25,000, which would be added then to our fund balance ending, which wouldn't change it dramatically. And so there are two budgets that you need to approve tonight. One is the 2021, the next one is the 2022. And just to make it so that it flows better, I'm going to do all of those on the same fund in the same presentation. So the original budget for 2022, we're expecting 55 million in revenue and about 55 and to spend about 55 million in expenditures, which would leave our budgets about the same as they are. Our ending fund balance would still be in the $19.9 million range. So are there any questions anybody has about the summary of Fund 10 general maintenance and operation budgets?
I do not.
Jeff, I guess just why were the supplied, there's trying to figure the line there, it was up about $1 million over what we originally budgeted, $960,000 between the original and the final budget. Is that because we had to do online buy stuff for online programs?
So yeah, we purchased a lot more technology. A lot of the ESSER funds were used to purchase technology. Also PP&E, we had to purchase more cleaning supplies and other things because of COVID, masks, a lot of the, plastic screens and other things that we hadn't anticipated. And so that's why that jumped up quite a bit. But we did, we purchased quite a bit of technology as well with the ESSER funds that we're getting this year.
Thank you.
Good question, Greg. Thank you. All right. If there are no more questions, I'll move to the next fund. Give me just a minute. Looks like my computer's a little slow with everything it's trying to do. So this is a new fund. Again, this was brought about by our new auditors. And it's their opinion that we should be presenting our foundation as a special revenue fund within our funds. That's always been outside of the funds that we presented, but our new auditors felt like that needed to be presented as part of our budgets. And so we presented that. So you'll see that they're, they did bring in the actual when they did the audit. And so we have the actual numbers. I did not, since it wasn't included, I've never done that before. So we did not have an original budget for that fund. We did budget for the final budget. These are the budget numbers. Shows that we'll, our fund balance will go up. Oh, looks like $100,000, a little over $100,000. And then we've also budgeted for fiscal year 22 as well. And this is, you know, primarily managed by Shanna and the foundation. And so, but we are now including that in our budgets for the board to approve, as well as they will be, they've always audited the foundation, but they've done that separately. But going forward, that will be as part of our funds as well, be included in the funds that we present. Are there any questions about the foundation funds? All right. The next fund is our student services fund. We ended 2020 with a fund balance of about $713,000. We're projecting that our total revenues to be about $1.3 million. And our total expenditures will be about 1.27. So we'll add a little bit to that fund and go from 713,000 to 870,000. And again, these are projections. So I talked to all of the schools. Their books don't close till June 30th either. And so they're not sure exactly what those are, but we try to get fairly close on those. And we're projecting similar budgets for fiscal year 2020 or fiscal year 22. And about an 85% or $85,000 increase in the ending fund balance for the student services fund. Any questions about our student services funds? Okay. So fund 26 is the tax increment financing fund. As you recall, several years ago, I think it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, the state auditor wanted to have us include the amount of tax increment that we don't receive. So basically, when we do RDAs, that increment is money that, I guess, in some ways you could say is lost to the district. It's funds that we could have, but we don't. You could also argue that, well, if we didn't pass an RDA in some situations, the increase in the values of those properties wouldn't happen. And so we may not have that. And so there's always, you know, some risk in whether or not to do RDAs. We've done several since I've been here. We've got others that were on the books and are starting to come off the books. But last year, that actual was 1.6 million. Of total revenues, actually only about, it was about 1.1 million that was the tax increment fund. Also, I think it was two or three years ago, the state auditor asked us to include the amount of charter school levy that we don't get, basically. So, you know, originally we would collect all of the taxes from our board local levy. And then from that amount, we would then pay the state for the charter school amount for the students that lived in our boundaries that go to charter schools. And so several years ago, legislature changed that law and made it so that's a separate line on the tax item. And so that's a separate tax levy. And that tax levy then is collected, but the state auditor wants us to show that how much that money is. And so I didn't realize that last year. And so when the auditors came, they said, yes, that needs to be included. Actually, for the last several years, should have been included. And so in my original budget, all I had was the tax increment. And so that shows about how much we would lose. And so I added this, that was the auditors added that into the actuals in 2020. I've added that now to the projections for the final budget in 2021 and also for the original budget of 2022. So you can see that that's going to go down a little bit. So in this, in at least from our projections, we should see a little bit of increment coming back to the district to the tune of maybe $100,000. Are there any questions about the tax increment financing fund? And so that amount for the charter school levy is around, I think this year it's $613,000 that will go to the charter schools. The next one is our debt service fund. Again, this fund is solely for the purpose of paying down general obligation bonds that the district has issued. This one, we can levy taxes up to the amount that's necessary to make the payments on the bond. And so every year I have to send in the amount of those payments to the county so they can calculate those to come up with a tax rate that will bring in that amount of money. Our, as you can see on our expenditures, it's about a little over 3.8 million every year that we are spending. And in actual 2020, we only brought in 3.7 million. Our original budget for 2021, we projected 3.595 million and our final budget 3.682 million, which is less than that amount that we need to spend. And the reason for that is we have over $1 million that is in a carryover fund. And since we can't do anything else with this money other than pay down the GO bond debt, there's no reason for us to carry that high of a balance. So for the last several years, we've been gradually bringing that balance down by lowering that tax rate. So we have lowered that tax rate and lowered taxes a little bit on our community members to bring that down so that we can bring that balance down. So we're projecting at the end of 2021 to have that just barely over $1 million. And at the end of budget year 2022, to have that about $821,000. And so that's pretty simple and straightforward. We collect those taxes, we put those into paying the bonds. And if we have excess, it increases our fund balance. If we have deficiency, then that decreases that fund balance. And that's what we're trying to do. So any questions about summary 31 debt service fund? All right, let's go to fund 32. Fund 32 is a little more, bit more fun and exciting. That's our capital budget fund, capital budget. That's what we pay for our new buildings. And so whether it's debt service for the GO bonds or whether it's MBA bonds or whatever bonds that we have, or if in many cases we take it out of carryover of our capital account. So when DWA or whoever our contractors are that build our schools, we pay for those out of our capital accounts. So when we issue the bonds, the money goes into our capital account. So you'll see in 2020 on our actual accounts, we brought in $6.8 million in revenue and we spent $17.5 million in expenses. And so you can see that we had a $10 million deficit, but we had a $31 million fund balance. That was because in 2019, we had issued bonds for $19.5 million, and that bumped up our fund balance to $31 million in anticipation of paying for these schools. So that then at the end of 2020, our fund balance was about $20 million. Our original budget for 2021 would would have brought that to about 10 million. We ended up not spending as much for the elementary schools during this year as we anticipated. And so we're projecting that we'll have a fund balance of about 13 million at the end of this year. Now, this also does all of our capital improvements. So when the board approves the capital improvement list, those come out of this fund. And then, you know, maintenance, supplies, a lot of things also come out of this, our capital funds. Now in 2022, we're projecting $6.5 million in revenue and about 13 million or almost 14 million in expenses. So that's going to drop our fund balance by another 7 million. So we'll take that 13 million and that will go to about 6. And so at that point, we should have paid off both of our elementary schools and we'll be left with a fund balance of about 6 million. As you know, we have some other projects that we're looking at that we will use some of those funds for. We like to keep 3 or 4 million in those funds just in case something were to happen that we would need some, you know, some emergency funds. We like to keep some, you know, a few million in that account just in case there's issues. We have a lot of buildings, even though most of them have been upgraded, there still can be some expensive problems. And so that will get us to just a little over 6 million by the end of 2022, fiscal year 22. Any questions about our capital fund? All right, the last one is our fund 49, which is our food service fund. And you can see that last year, or in 2020, we had revenue of 3.8 million, expenditures of 3.3 million. Paul Guyman administers this fund. He's our food service manager. And so he had a fund balance of 1.1 million. That ending fund balance in 2020 was 1.6 million. They don't like him to keep over $1 million. They wanted him to bring that down. And so as you can see in the original budget, we showed him bringing that down to just over $1 million. Our final budget's pretty close to the same. So we anticipate that he'll have that pretty close to $1 million. One of the ways he brings that down, when we build new buildings, he's able to purchase a lot of the equipment. And so, you know, he purchases new tables, but there's also a lot of the equipment that he can purchase for our kitchens. And so he's able to spend some of that money. And so he's working on bringing that fund balance down and anticipate that next year that's gonna be just a little bit over 500,000 that he will have in the food service fund. Any questions about the food service fund?
I have a question on that one. I know this year the federal government stepped in and provided free nutrition services for students, school lunch and school breakfast. Right. How did that impact this fund?
So, well, we should have seen a drop in the local because, I mean, we still had some because of the beginning of the year. We were charging and then they came out and said, no, we're not charging. And we also have adults who purchase food, you know, school lunch and things. And so we still have some of that. We still have some funding from the state. I was a little surprised too, when I talked to Paul, that our federal funding actually went down.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. He, at the beginning, you know, back on last June when we were doing the budgets, the original budget for 2021, he thought with COVID that it would have a more significant impact. So it's not as bad as we originally projected, but it is lower. And I asked him why, and he said there's fewer students eating lunch. And so the federal government also pays on a per meal basis. And so he said the numbers that are eating school lunch just dropped off. And so that's why it's not as bad as anticipated, but we didn't receive as much revenue, or we won't receive as much revenue in 2021 as we did in 2020 from the federal government.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is. And we assume that will be the case you know, as we project, you know, we don't know how many students will eat lunch next year. So we projected that to be about the same as what as the number of students that ate school lunch this year. Any other questions about the food service fund? Okay, let me go to the FY21 summary then. Just quickly summarize. So if we take all of those funds together, I've added the foundation fund. So if we take all of those funds together, we anticipate that we will have a total budget ending fund balance of $36,438,021. And then I also on this screen show the tax levies and review those as well. So it looks like our total revenue will be a little over $70 million. That's over across all funds. And our total expenditures will be $82 million. So that's going to drop us from $43 million to $36 million. And again, that drop primarily is because of our capital fund and because of paying for elementary schools. So our general fund is the chief operating fund of the school district. It's used to account for all financial resources of the school district, except those required to be accounted for in another fund. A district may have only one general fund. And so that's fund 10. We talked about student activities fund is a special revenue fund and is used to account for financial resources of individual schools. The tax increment fund is to show the funds the district is not receiving due to RDAs. And I'm sorry, I should have updated that, I guess, to say as well as the charter school levy. The debt service fund is to account for the accumulation of resources for and the payment of general obligation long-term debt, principal and interest. The capital outlay fund is used to account for resources and payment for the acquisition of capital facilities and equipment. Food services fund is used to account for the resources and payments of the child nutrition program. This also includes the tax levies. So last year, the basic school levy, this one is set by the state, but the funds are generated for our local school district. That last year was 0.001628. The voted local levy last year was 0.001386. The board local levy was 0.001960, and the charter school levy was 0.000204. We also had tax levies for the debt service fund, and that rate was 0.001119. And the capital outlay fund was set at 0.001920. So our total overall tax rate last year was 0.008217. And so I'll get into a little more detail with this in a minute, but on the FY22 summary, I'll go over those tax rates as well. So we're projecting next year that we'll have about $71.9 million in total revenue. We'll spend about $79.8 million, which will drop our fund balance from $36 million to a little over $28 million. And again, the tax levies, so the basic school levy actually went up. A few years ago, they passed a law that kind of guaranteed that would go up. And so that's part of where we get the 5.9% increase that the legislature to our WPUs that the legislature voted in this year. So that one went up. All the rest of them have gone down. As you know, when property values go up, the tax rates go down. The taxes are supposed to give us the same revenue as we received the last year. So anytime values go up, the rates go down. If values go down, then the rates go up, in order for us to receive the same amount of money. And so the rest of these taxes that are set by the board, the voted local levy was 0.001389 last year, it's 0.001210. The board local levy was 0.001920, and that went to 0.001710. The charter school levy actually went down too. The rate went down from 0.000204 to 0.00179. The tax levy, I don't know. I kind of did this one for fun. You know, because we have, when we do the debt service levy, we can see how we set that. But I thought a 0.001000 right on would bring in still a little bit less. But it's a round even number. And so it was close to the amount that we wanted to bring in. And so I set that at 0.0010000. And then the capital levy is 0.001676. So our total levy went from 0.008217 to 0.007436. So our rates have gone down. You may recall, Anne, a few years ago, our rate was, I think, 0.009939. And so I was afraid that we were going to lose a zero and go to 0.01. But our property values have gone up enough that that rate has actually dropped. And so our proposed tax rate for next year, our total rate will be 0.007436. Are there any questions about those summaries from FY21 or FY22? All right, I'm going to switch then to the tax rate because the board also has to approve the tax rate and go through that tax rate worksheet. Let's see if I can move that over a little bit so that we can see the full, see that on the screen. Can everybody see that okay?
And so it's so tiny, can't see it.
I know, right? Sorry, we've got too many columns. So last year, our tax rate valuation, the value of the property in the district was $2.9 billion. This year, that went to $3.4 billion. So that's a significant increase. The percentage change is 15.78%. And so the top part of this is just to show you what we did in fiscal year 2021. And the bottom part of this is our proposed rates for 2022. And so what this goes through, it shows you the basic school levy, the voted levy, the board local levy, the capital levy, and the GO bond payments levy, and what that means. So we have statutory limits on that. So the basic school levy, the statutory limit is 0.001764. The state set that at 0.001661. And that was up from 0.001628. The voted local levy by state law cannot go over 0.002000. But that also has to be authorized. So the voters in your district can authorize up to that 0.0020. They can't authorize more than that. In our district, our voters have authorized that to be as high as 0.001600. So the board can then raise that up to this 0.0016. So again, that last year that was 0.001386. This year we're proposing 0.001210. But if we had a truth in taxation hearing, the board could raise that up to the 0.0016. But that's as high as the board would be able to raise that unless they went out to and had another election and the voters authorized that to be raised higher. So the board local levy has a statutory limit of 0.0025. That was 0.001960 last year, and we're proposing a 0.001710. So when the county looks at the tax valuation, then they determine what rate will bring in the same amount of revenue as last year. And when they do that, then they set those rates. So this year, we're proposing that we stay with the certified rate. So the basic levy, which comes from the state for our WPUs, will bring in some additional funds. So last year, brought in $4.8 million. This year, we'll bring in almost $5.7 million. But the rest of those are pretty close to the same. There is some new growth in there. When we have new growth, that's added in there. So there's about, I think, a total of about $100,000 of new growth over what we had last year. But you know, out of a $25.5 million tax burden, $100,000 isn't as significant, but it is a little bit more than we got last year. And anytime we have some new growth, that's additional funds that come in for that year only to the district. And so again, you know, last year our rate was 0.008217. This year we're proposing a tax rate of 0.007436. And that's what I'm asking the board to approve tonight for the tax rate. Are there any questions on the proposed tax rate worksheet? Okay. With that, then I will turn the time back to President Williams and ask for your approval of the FY21 final budget, the FY22 original budget, and the proposed tax rates.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jeff, for that presentation and all your hard work. So, as Jeff just mentioned, we need a motion to approve the final budget for the fiscal year 2021. Would someone like to make that motion?
I'd make that motion.
Motion has been made by Greg Miller.
Second. Would
someone like to? Seconded by Ann Geary. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Now, Larry, opposed? Yes, Jeff.
Back into the regular board meeting first to do that, or can we do it while we're in the budget hearing?
Superintendent?
What did the instructor do?
I don't have this in my notes. Do we need to exit the budget hearing and go back into regular meeting, Superintendent?
Probably just to keep ourselves secure on all sides would be to exit and take any official action to do that in the regular meeting. So I apologize, I didn't get that in your notes.
Oh, that's okay. So I need a motion then to exit the budget hearing. Would someone like to make that motion?
I'll move that.
Okay, motion's been made by Greg Miller, seconded by Ann Geary. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So we've exited the budget hearing. So now I need a motion to re-enter our regular board meeting. Would someone like to make that motion?
Also move.
Okay, it's been moved by Ann Geary to enter into our regular board meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Greg Miller. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries and we have re-entered into a regular board meeting. So now going back to our original, we need a motion to approve the final budget for the fiscal year 2021.
I'll make that motion again.
And I'll second motion it.
By Greg Miller and seconded by Ann Geary. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. We've approved the final budget for fiscal year 2021. I now need a motion to approve the original budget for the fiscal year 2022. Would someone like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion's been made by Ann Geary. Someone like to make a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Greg Miller. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the original budget for fiscal year 2022. I now need a motion to approve our proposed tax rates. Would someone like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion's been made by Greg Miller. Would someone like to second that?
We need to state what they are first.
We need by category or just the total mill levy?
I think we need to state that full motion.
I don't have that motion.
Okay, I'll make that full motion. Motion to approve the proposed tax rate for FY22 at the certified rate of 0.001210 for the voted local levy at point, okay, that was for the
voted local levy.
Now for the board local levy at 001710. And then 0.001676 for the capital local levy, and 0.001000 for the geo bond payments levy.
Motion's been made by Angeri. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Greg Miller. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. Thank you. And I think that concludes our business today. So we will now adjourn from the regular meeting of the Logan City Board of Education at 6:45 p.m. on June 22nd, 2021. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Larry, just remember to sign that form before you go home.
I'll do it.
I had a question for you on these forms. Handed me a giant stack of forms, so I have some questions on them that I might need to ask you when I get a second. So.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.